Fallout from federal immigration enforcement in Minneapolis continues this week, with six federal prosecutors there resigning over the assignment to investigate the widow of the 37-year-old mother shot and killed by an ICE agent. And Thursday was the last day of open enrollment for Marketplace Affordable Care Act plans, with early indications showing 1.4 million fewer enrollees than last year. But the U.S. House last week voted to extend those credits, with 17 Republicans joining, including Wisconsin 3rd Congressional Representative Derek Van Orden. To check where that measure goes in the Senate, we turn to Wisconsin's U.S. Senators, Democrat Tammy Baldwin and Republican Ron Johnson, who joins us now. Senator, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
So what do you know about any compromise to be had on the extension of these ACA enhanced credits?
Well, appreciate you reporting it accurately. We're talking about the enhanced credits for the supposedly 24 million people on these changes. More than 22 million will still get the Obamacare original subsidies, which were very generous. The only people losing subsidies are people making over 400% of the poverty line. That's about 1.6 million people. And I'm actually working with a couple Democrat senators to address those individuals because they are facing unbelievably high premiums because of Obamacare. It has so destroyed the individual market. Some of these folks close to retirement are facing premiums of $36,000, $38,000 a year. So I'd like to help them. But again, I really have, there's no reason to extend the enhanced temporary pandemic subsidies for people who still will retain the Obamacare subsidies.
What kind of traction is that getting, your proposal to maintain credits for those at 400% above poverty?
Well, what I've been told is there are enough Democrats who will co-sponsor that, but right now I think they're still holding out hope that they can extend all the subsidies. I just believe that's dead on arrival here in the Senate. We voted that down multiple times during the shutdown. That's just not going to happen.
Were you surprised by the 17 Republicans in the House who voted to extend those enhanced credits?
No, I think the issue's been so misreported. It's been so misrepresented that I think there are people in very close districts we're concerned about that misrepresentation. They wanted to be showing their constituents that, no, they want to help them handle the extremely high premiums. But remember, the reason premiums are so high is because Obamacare is just flawed. It's an awful structure. It forced a very small percentage of the American population, those 24 million people on the individuals change, to completely bear the cost of covering people with pre-existing conditions. So that's the reason why premiums, since the implementation of Obamacare, have increased at four times the rate of inflation. So again, it's completely failed. And the only thing the subsidies are doing right now is they're masking that. It's certainly helping people. But what we ought to do is we ought to fix Obamacare, repair the damage done, and transition to a system that would actually work.
Like?
Well, the root cause of our health care financing system is the third-party payer system. Somebody else is going to pay the cost of the procedures and the medical services. All we pay for is insurance, it's way too high, or we pay our taxes. So until you actually reintroduce consumerism, where consumers know what things cost and they're concerned about what things cost. Right now, doctors don't know, nurses don't know, patients don't know. The only people know are the bean counters, so that's a completely flawed system. You've removed all the benefits of a free market competitive system out of healthcare. So you don't have lower costs, you don't have better quality, you don't have better service. So again, return consumerism, free market competition in there. Now, providers aren't going to like it. Right now, every incentive in our current healthcare system is to increase prices because everybody's taking a percentage cut off it. They'd rather take a percent cut off of something that costs $10,000 rather than five. So it's about consumerism. That's the only solution.
On immigration enforcement, Minneapolis obviously continues to be a powder keg. How does the president invoking the Insurrection Act, bringing in U.S. military, help or hurt what's going on there in your mind?
Well, what you ought to do is take a look at different states, those that are actually cooperating with ICE as we try and, as the Trump administration tries to clean up this enormous mess left behind by Biden and Democrats who opened up our borders, versus those states that are resisting, where local law enforcement actually holds illegal immigrants that have committed crimes so that ICE can pick them up peacefully at the jails. you're not seeing a problem. Where you're seeing a problem is where you have insurgents like Governor Walz and the mayor inciting people to resist and obstruct justice, and that led to the tragedy of that one woman's death.
Do you have concerns that Wisconsin will be similarly embroiled?
I would hope that Wisconsin county sheriffs and local officials would cooperate with ICE. I think generally they do. We do not have pockets of large illegal immigrants in the state of Wisconsin, so it's not as big an issue here as it is with the Somali population and others in Minnesota and some of these other big cities.
Do you feel like public benefits fraud in Minnesota justifies the Trump administration to surge ICE there?
That's not why they're doing it. They're two totally separate issues.
And yet that has been something that the president has spoken to.
Well, again, you have a large Somali population that now we are seeing evidence of how much they are defrauding the federal government on a host of government programs. Flying $700 million of cash out of the Minneapolis airport. There's some real problems there, but that's separate from the illegal immigrants. And quite honestly, the sanctuary cities, sanctuary states like Minneapolis and Minnesota, where you don't have local officials working with ICE to peacefully turn over people they've detained that have committed crimes. Other states that do it, you don't have these problems.
You stated this week that you do not want to see immigration enforcement action on farmers. Do you have any assurances on that?
Just that, for example, President Trump was not happy with the raid, I think, the Hyundai plant. So people here that are working, contributing, that is not the people that ICE is primarily going after. Right now, they're going after the criminals. Now, if you're associating yourself with people who've committed crimes, if you get caught up in those enforcement actions, if you've come to this country illegally, you've committed a crime as well, but that's not who the Trump administration is targeting.
Do you support, on the kind of world stage, do you support the administration's actions in Venezuela or threats against Iran or even looking at Greenland? Do you support that kind of foreign policy?
It is undeniably good that Maduro is no longer the illegitimate leader in destroying Venezuela. Now, what comes next, I don't know. If the mullahs could be replaced by the Iranian people, that would be a good thing for the world. They are a menace. Greenland, from my standpoint, I'm not worried about a military invasion there. I think it's appropriate for President Trump to understand and point out what a strategic, how strategically important Greenland is. And I think there's probably more and more intelligence coming out exactly what Russia and China may be doing there. And we need to make sure that Greenland is protected for NATO and for America and for our own national security.
What do you think average Wisconsinites care most about right now? Do you think it's the cost of living?
Sure. Always has been, always will be. And it's difficult to, once you've devalued the dollar to the extent we have over the decades. A dollar held in 1998 is only worth 51 cents. As recently as 2019, that dollar is worth 80 cents. And so the 40-year high inflation incurred during the Biden administration, that permanently devalued the dollar. So, a lot of those prices, they're not going to go back down. Now, there are certain commodities like energy, gasoline, you're noticing because we actually are encouraging drilling and energy production, gasoline prices are going down. I think a more rational approach to bird flu is probably bringing down the price of eggs. So there are certain things we can address. President Trump right now is, and I've had a briefing in terms of what he's doing to make sure that European countries or other developed countries pay the same price we pay for drugs so they don't freeload off of our innovation. That will also help things in terms of pharmaceutical pricing.
All right. Senator Ron Johnson, we leave it there. Thanks very much for your time.
Have a good day.
Thank you. We certainly ran through a lot of issues.
We did. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.